was a young man, you know. Maulana asked him, why you never sit for the talk? He says, no, I had to go. So Maulana said, why you have to go? He says, no, I had to go for haircut. So Maulana said, well, why you have to go for haircut during the talk? Where did you go? Earlier or after? He said, no. Before the talk, my hair wasn't so long. So we can't pull it so long. So in a few minutes, inshallah. And also we can't be proud too. Because there was one grammarian. He embarked on a boat. So as he gets on the boat, he's asking the skipper, who's rowing the boat. He says, you know grammar and literature, and how to articulate and how to pronounce properly. He says, no, I didn't learn any of that. He says, now, why didn't you learn? You wasted half your life. Such important things of life you didn't learn. Grammar. How to articulate correctly. He says, no, really, I didn't. And so he's rowing, and as they're passing through the dam, it was quite a big dam. They get somewhere in the middle, and there was some trouble. They hit a rock, and they're in the center. Allah knows what they hit, and there was a crack. So severe, and water was coming through. So the skipper asks him, you don't have to swim. He says, you know, that I didn't learn. He says, you know, I wasted half my life, but you wasted your whole life. So before we say things, we have to think. Allah Ta'ala guide us, and Allah save us from life. With that, like every chapter of the Quran Kareem is so pertinent. Today we read a chapter called Al-Mu'minun, concerning the believers. Allah praises the believers in this chapter. And the next chapter is An-Nur, light. How to acquire Allah's light. A very special chapter. Anyway, in Al-Mu'minun, Allah refers to the believers as people of Iman. And in the previous chapter, Allah tells us about Hajj. Hajj is really special. Allah take us all for Hajj. And towards the end verses of Al-Hajj, Allah says to the believers, O people of Iman, irka'u wasjudu. Perform prayer, ruku' and sujood. Wa'budu rabbakum. And worship Allah. Worship Allah profusely. Then Allah says, so wa'budu rabbakum is make ibadah. One is ruku' and sajda, which is salah. Wa'budu rabbakum is different forms of ibadah as well. So, zakat, hajj, wa'budu rabbakum. Then Allah says, waf'adu al-khayr, even other forms of ibadah. So the verse from something confined is going to other aspects of religion that are more vast. Waf'adu al-khayr, do every sort of good, all sorts of good. Charity, assistance of others, social work, any opportunity to do good. Waf'adu al-khayr, do opportunities to do good. Now a question comes about, oh Allah, how are we going to do good? So Allah starts al-mu'minun with 10 qualities that every believer should inculcate in his life. I'm not going to go through the 10. You must see it for yourself. 10 qualities of the mu'minun that every mu'min should make an effort to imbibe within him and inculcate in himself and inspire others to do the same. 10 qualities that Allah speaks of that are the highlight of the mu'min. But in this chapter, Al-Hajj, right at the end, Allah says, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, strive for Allah. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. Qadi Tana'ullah was a great mufassir. He said, jihad, one meaning of jihad is battle, but that's not the only meaning. Many of us think, no, when this discussion is jihad, it means battle. He says, it's not the only case. There's a lot of other ways of jihad. Like Allah's Nabi was returning from battle and he's telling Sahaba, we're returning from a minor jihad to a bigger jihad. And what's the bigger jihad? To please Allah, even whilst we are at home, in our businesses, in our societies, make sure we don't defy Allah. It's a very high form of jihad. In that hadith, staying away from sin also is referred to as a big jihad. Jihad Akbar. Another form of jihad is to invite to Allah's great, invite the non-Muslims. Allah Akbar, Shaykh Ahmad did that. When the world was not doing this, going to non-Muslims and talking to them, he carried out what a jihad. He took on the world. If you hear some of his lectures where he went to Australia, went to the UK, went to the Arab lands, begging people that what is Anbiya's work? What a jihad that is. He took on the world. Allah give him Jannah al-Firdaws. That's also a great form of jihad. To leave the home and sacrifice our nafs and desires and go in Allah's way, that's also a form of jihad. And there's also jihad with the pen and there's jihad with our wealth. So Allah give us the faith to involve ourselves in all the forms of jihad. So Allah says, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ. Analyze something. When a chapter is revealed in Makkah, it doesn't refer to battle directly. That's also understood. Because Makkah, there was no battle. When the verse is Makkah, like in Surah Furqan, it's clear Makkah verse. Allah says, وَجَاهِدُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Make big jihad. But it doesn't refer to battle.
It's the first moment Nabi gives so much of dawah, when jihad is mentioned in the Makkah verse. Like here also. Here, Qadi Thanaullah explains this is jihad of the nafs, which is ikhlas. Endeavor to bring sincerity in us. But in these verses, as it culminates, there's an amazing expression to this ummah. Allah says, Huwa jitaba'akum, O ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has selected you. Now this word, ijtiba, is a very special word. What it means, you are chosen on a very high pedestal. You are chosen for a very high, lofty, noble work. If you analyze the entire Quran, this word ijtiba is used specifically for anbiya throughout the Quran. Throughout the Quran, this word is used for anbiya. And in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah uses the same expression for this ummah. So how special is this ummah? That we're not just, you know, businessmen, or just people of the dunya, or whatever our faculties may be, whether it may be law, whether it may be science, whether it may be medicine, whether it may be a scholar, whatever our faculties, one may be a teacher, one may be a businessman, one may be an entrepreneur, one may be the mayor, one may be a scientist, an engineer. That's not the only faculty we have. Allah has chosen us for a high and lofty work, which is Anbiya's work. This is what is meant by Huwaj Tabakum. For a high and noble work. Jabiya. You know what is Jabiya? It was a hill where Hazrat Umar gave his lecture from. And that's where this word comes from. Huwaj Tabakum Jabiya. Anyway, Allah accept us for this moment. At the end of this chapter, Allah says, Huwa Sammakum Muslimin. Allah named this Ummah Muslim. And in the beginning of Mu'mineen, next chapter, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Allah named this ummah Mu'min. So this ummah is named by Allah Muslim and Mu'min. Under these ayat, Mufassirin bring a hadith. Allah's Nabi said, O my ummah, don't call the slogans of Jahiliyyah. So Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, what is meant by slogans of Jahiliyyah? Tribalism. My people. My language. My nation. That's a despicable attitude. It's something we have to cleanse in us. We are a broad ummah. We are a big ummah. Allah's Nabi says, if you have that, if we have that attitude, my, and we are better because we are come from this nation, or we are better because we are that color, or we are better because of our language. Allah. Allah's Nabi says, you're going to Jahannam, he tells us, for that slogan which is paganism. Allah's Nabi said. So Sahaba asked, he fasts, he performs salah. Allah's Nabi says, still he will go to Jahannam. Even if he can fast how much he wants, and he can make salah how much he wants, he will go to Jahannam because this is a slogan that leads a person to Jahannam. Then Sahaba asked, what do we call ourselves? Allah's Nabi said, Allah called you Muslim, Allah called you Mu'min, not nation and tribe. That is just for recognizing the next person, not to look down upon the next person, and not to deem ourselves and our people. That's why that statement, our people, there's no such thing. The whole ummah is ours. Sab hamara hai. Everyone is ours. Ya akhi fil hindi aw fil maghribi. Ya akhi fil mashriqi aw fil maghribi. Ana minka anta minni anta bi. لا تسل عن عنصري أو نسبي إنه الإسلام أمي وأبي. The splendor of Allah says, O my brother, wherever you may be from, whether India, whether China, whether Japan, whether Africa, whether Morocco, whether Arab, whether non-Arab, don't worry about my people, my people. No, you are mine and I am yours. We are Muslims. Islam is our mother and father. Islam is our mother and father. This is what it is, and this disease we have to take out of us. Otherwise we can never spread this beautiful deed. So Allah says this in this chapter. The ending of the previous chapter and the beginning of this chapter. Allah names us. That's our names. Muslim and Mu'min. And in this chapter, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أَفْلَحَ. What does أَفْلَحَ mean? You heard this word before. You heard this word in the Adhan. قَدْ حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ. Falah is with a ha. Make sure we pronounce it correctly. Not falah. And you must give the adhan when you have opportunities. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if my ummah knew the value of adhan, they won't give it up. They'd be courageous and they'd vie with one another to give the adhan. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, that means after you we're going to fight. Allah's Nabi says, no, people won't know the value of it. They'll just leave it to anybody. They won't want to do it. Why? Because they think it's not important. It's the most important thing. So learn how to pronounce it correctly and give the adhan. It's an honor. Wherever you are in the world, and anywhere you have the opportunity, any place you get permission and you try your best, and you try your best to insist also. You show that jazba. You should love the adhan. I should love the adhan. Hayya ala al-falah. And then I ask you, why the muadhin repeats Allahu Akbar 4 times? That's one question for you. Second question. The hadith is sahih. Why Allah's Nabi said, when the muadhin says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But intention has to be correct. Intention must be for Allah, and intention must be to bring the whole humanity to the masjid. With that intention, the muadhin gives adhan, shaitan loses control of his bowels, he starts to release his impurities out of being petrified, and he runs in any direction, helter-skelter, in shock, because of the awe and the grandeur of Allah expressed in the adhan. But then the same hadith says, Mauli sahab is reading Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Same thing he's saying. Shaitan is not running anywhere. Mauli sahab is saying same thing. Hazrat sahab, Imam sahab, Maulana sahab, Mufti sahab. And the Muaddin is saying the same thing. How come? What is the difference in the statement? I want you to think about it. Same statement, but such a different impact. I don't think I should tell you. I believe, because you have to find out yourself. And if you still don't get the answer, you ask me again. Hayya ala al-falah. So two questions. Allah, the muadhin says, come to success. But falah is not only success in the hereafter. Success is success. Falah is success in this world and the next. So قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. He who inculcates foes is confined to the hereafter. Falah is a word that encompasses both worlds, this world and the next. And the one who brings these 10 qualities in his life, Allah will give him true success of this world and the next. Meaning in this world already his success starts. Because he's connected to the masjid. Allah makes him a successful person, successful human being. Then other qualities among these 10 is Allah speaks of how a believer preserves his private parts. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Futile discussion, he won't join. He'll go sit with people who are talking about deen. There's two people. People are yapping, chatting here. People are talking about deen there. He won't go here, he'll go there. This is what the ayat is saying. He won't go where people are yapping and backbiting, and he won't go there. Maybe he'll say, Salaamu Alaikum, and walk past. He'll go by those brothers there who are discussing deen. Allah forgive us. Many times, in the corner of the masjid, there's people discussing deen. We'll still go outside, but we must yap. Not always we are. Some people may be discussing halal things, permissible, alhamdulillah. But let's make sure outside the masjid we're not backbiting. Because then we actually directly go against this verse. This verse says, turn away from futile speech. Go towards beneficial speech. Don't worry people label us. What if people... No. Allah must be happy with us. If Allah accepts us on the day of judgment, we're successful. So this is what this verse says. Turn away from futility and go towards where goodness is discussed. Good discussions, good speech. Good conversation. Something else Allah highlights here. Allah says, Allah loves those who preserve their private parts. That's what Quran says. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Only with their wives that is permissible. So, preserving the private part, the detail of that is in the next chapter. Surah An-Nur discusses all the avenues of how to preserve the private part. Staying away from zina. Staying away from slander. Surah An-Nur, we read today. The harms of slander. We discussed it before. Slander is someone is innocent of something and we accuse him falsely concerning a certain crime. And he's innocent of that crime. Especially something like adultery. That is blasphemous and it is slander. This chapter speaks of that. Such a person who falsely accuses another person without proof, Islamically has to be lashed 80 times. Even the B word people commonly use. You're actually slandering his father, saying that he's illegitimate. That's slander. And if his father is not so, that means Islamically, the person who perpetrates such a crime is liable in Allah's book, in public, to be lashed 80 times. That's why this bad language, we have to take it out of our life. use Ramadan as a springboard to help us change. Allah give us the faith. So that's discussed in detail. Other aspects, so slander is highlighted in a great length under the incident of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. She was falsely accused. 16 verses of Quran were revealed concerning our mother to show us. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, "I knew I was innocent. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me, I didn't even answer. I said, if I'm going to say yes and I didn't do it, some people will believe it. If I say no, no one will believe me. I leave it to Allah." And she says, "At that time I was trying to remember Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam's name, but in my grief I couldn't even remember his name. I said, I will only say what Abu Yusuf said, father of Yusuf alayhi salam. I couldn't remember Yaqub alayhi salam's name," she says in the hadith. Her eloquence is so expressive in this beautiful hadith of hers, where she explained her grief. "I never expected Allah to reveal verses." Imagine Yusuf alayhi salam was so great. Allah made a child speak in his defense. Maryam alayhi salam was so great, but Allah made a child speak in her defense. Juraij was a buzurg. Allah made the child speak because they falsely accused. You know the story of Juraij. Juraij was a buzurg. Who knows the story of Juraij? Pick up your hand. You know the story. Very pious buzurg he was, mashallah. Comes in Sahih Bukhari. He was a very pious man. But one day his mother gave him baddua. Ya Allah save us. Mother's baddua, very, very gentle. And she didn't mean bad. She called him and he was in salah. So then she called him again, he was still in salah. Now in his salah, he's thinking, "Hey, what should I do? Mother is calling me. No, I'm enjoying my salah too much, I carry on." Now nafil salah, mother is calling, finish salah quickly, go see what she's doing. And if it's something she's in trouble, she's hurt or whatever, then you can break your salah, and you should break your salah and quickly make her khidmah, mother and father. But anyway, she got so irritated with him. She said, "Ya Allah will show you. The adulteress will come by you." That word just emanated from her mouth. Anyway, some beautiful, promiscuous woman, some people were telling her, she told them, "I can catch anybody." So they challenged her. They said, you think you can catch anybody? Anybody will see you. She's saying, anybody will see me and stop and look at me. Anybody will fall for me. That's what she was saying. I don't know how to say it in the lingo. But they challenged her. They said, "You can never entice Juraij." Comes in Sahih Bukhari. She said, "What? I can't entice Juraij. I'll show you." Anyway, she made herself dolled up, makeup and all. And she was pretty already. And she goes by Juraij. This beautiful woman comes by him. And he's busy in his place of ibadah. And he's worshipping Allah. She comes there, you know, here to be with you. He says, "Please, sister. There's the door. Get away from me. I'm not that kind of a person." And a person must know when to be abrupt. When it comes to sin, no, I'm only chatting to give her dawah. No dawah to ladies, brother. You're to give her dawah, you pick up your wife will give her dawah. Men give dawah to men, women give dawah to women. That is the teaching of Islam. That time, don't let shaitan trick you. No, I'm going to give dawah. You're going to start with dawah, you're going to fall into adultery. It starts with chatting, then smiles, then, you know, what you call it, went out, and definitely it leads to Allah Ta'ala save us, adultery. Already, Quran doesn't say don't perpetrate adultery, don't commit adultery. Quran says don't go near adultery. Look how beautiful is Islam. Quran doesn't just say don't commit adultery. Allah says don't go near it. He told her, "Please, sister, get out." She went away. Now she was turned on. She needed a man. So she went by the shepherd somewhere. And she ended up spending the night with him because she couldn't stick defeat. Anyway, she fell pregnant. The people who sent her, and they went to see now, you know, this was acts too pious. We're going to catch him. Now they see this woman's stomach is growing. "You caught him." But she couldn't admit where I caught him. So now they came to his monastery and they beat him up. And they tortured him. And he went through a lot of brutal torture. They broke his place of ibadah, his little masjid where he worshipped Allah. In the Bani Israel, he was worshipping Allah. They destroyed him, demolished him. Anyway, he's trying to explain to them. They aren't listening to anything. In that, when the child was born, he's asking them, "What do you mean I didn't do? I don't even know what you're talking about." Probably he didn't even remember the incident. They said, yeah, your child. He said, okay, bring the child here. The child was brought. He put his thumb in the child's stomach and he says, Man Abu, Walad, little boy, who's your father? The child responded, Abi Ar-Ra'i, my father is the shepherd. So everyone now regretted, you know, how we falsely accused such a Muzlub, such a Allah, Allah. But remember, hey, you know, mother's dua, it started from there. That's why rather we take mother's dua and father's dua and not their bad dua. If we hurt them in any way, always ask for maaf immediately. Otherwise, hey, that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala severely. Allah ta'ala save us. But the point here was, even the child defended Juraij. But Hazrat Aisha, not a child, or any makhluk of Allah ta'ala. Allah directly revealed verses of the Quran in the defense of our mother. This chapter alone tells us, amongst other main lessons, amongst other lessons, this is the main lesson. How great is our mother? How great is our mother? And still, those who claim to be Muslim, the Shia, will disrespect her and attack her and falsely accuse her and expect to be Muslim. They're going directly contrary to Quran. What Islam is left in a person? There was a great scholar, Qadi Abu Bakr Baqillani, rahimahullah. One of the first scholars to write on the sciences of hadith, the miracles of the Quran. He writes on the depth and the beauty and the rhetoric miracles of the Quran. This was the fifth century, so 1,000 years ago. He was sent by the Abbasid Khalif to invite the Romans to Islam. See, Dawat and traveling for Dawat was from time immemorial, was from the inception of our deen. Sahaba did it. Only today we find it hard to understand that Dawat is our responsibility. Sahaba did it, all the Tabi'in did it, and the ulama of the past did it. This is how you and I are Muslim. Anyway, he goes to the Roman Empire, he arrives there, so they come to tell him, your appointment with the emperor is at this time and at that time, and they gave him a special garb. They said, you have to dress like this, all this clothes of yours here, we don't want you, we don't accept this clothes here in our palace. And this is disrespectful for the emperor for you to dress like this. He says, you know what, I'm a scholar, I dress according to the teachings of my prophet, and wherever I go, this is how I dress. Allah give us tawfiq. We want to go to China and dress like the Chinese. We want to go to Durban and, no, why? We don't say when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Our slogan as Muslims is, even if we end up in Rome, we do as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether China, whether Japan, whether Argentina, whether UK, whether England, whether London, whether Africa, we don't look like Africa, like UK, like America. We look like Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even in Heathrow, even in America, even in Japan, we walk as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walk. We dress like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dress. That is our slogan, that is our way. This alim said straight, I will dress like this sunnat libas, anywhere I go. So they knew this man is adamant. Anyway, they gave him his appointed time. The emperor knew that this alim is not going to bow down. So he wanted to catch him. So what he did was, at the entry, he lowered the arena, the entrance point. So the alim has to bend down like this, because he's not going to bow down. So he wants to enforce a jukna, you know, like a bending, you know, kind of he wanted to take it like a respect for him. As he did this, the alim comes there. Look how wise was the ulama. What do you think he did? He went in from the other way. You know, too sharp. So this emperor was shocked. You know, he didn't go in from the front. He turned the other way and went in. Not to show any imitation of any sort of bowing to any of Allah's creation. But my point of bringing this discussion under the surah, among the questions he asked him, he says, yeah, but your prophet's wife, wasn't she involved? Wasn't she involved? No. Look at the response of this Ali. He said, that was a false allegation. Like Mother Mary was also falsely accused. But we believe, it's part of our aqidah and belief, that both are pure from the false allegations laid against them. But the difference is, Mother Mary brought forth a child, and our mother Aisha born no child. So he proves how both are innocent, and if you were to doubt, even though it's impermissible, Mary brought a child. So this is how he proved the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and Hazrat Maryam. There were many other questions that was discussed in this chapter. There's many aspects of chastity. Even imagine this chapter discusses protection of the gaze. with so much of emphasis. Allah says, tell the believers, يَهُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, lower their gazes and preserve their private parts. This verse tells us clearly, if we don't protect the gaze, it becomes almost impossible to protect the private part. Then the next ruku is Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. And the link is, you want Allah's nur, you have to protect the gaze. And the end of the chapter discusses, and we have to finish with this, is even teach our children ethics, that they mustn't just barge into their parents' rooms. They must knock the door. This is discussed in this chapter. Ethics, otherwise the children will come in and they'll see something really inappropriate for young eyes. You know? So this is actually highlighted in this chapter, all things about chastity and morality and purity. Allah Ta'ala make us pure and chaste and obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah keep us away from all sorts of sin and anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi wa rahmatihi.